All right, it's that time. It's time for Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetwork.com. And this is our weekly Sunday show from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Very good to have you all listening. I just put a little blurb on Facebook so everybody would be reminded of the show. And so looking forward to it today and what God is going to do in this place today. It's going to be great. It's going to be mighty. And with me in the studio today is Nan, as many times she is. But we also have Dr. Angel Falzoni as in the studio. Pretty cool. Wait a minute. Let me get your mics on. Which one are you on? Okay. Let's see which one you're on. And which one is she going to be on? Okay. We'll get all this straightened out here in just a minute. Let's see if that's right. Can you say something?
It's good to be here.
There you go. And you have kind of a froggy throat there, Dr. Angel. Nan, speak, would you? Make sure I got the right mic for you.
Roof, roof.
Okay. Yeah. You're a dog and she's a frog. All right. So, Dr. Angel, what happened to you? What's wrong with your voice?
I got a little traumatized riding roller coasters with my youngest son at Busch Gardens yesterday.
Oh, see, that's what you get when for going to Busch Gardens, right?
You know, the price we pay to be a good parent.
The price you pay to be a good parent. And so Spencer was wanting you to ride all those big nasty things?
Oh, yes, he did. And more than one time.
More than one time, really? You would think you'd learn after the first time, Dr. Angel.
I know. Well, when your 15-year-old son wants to hang out with you, you do it.
You know what? That's absolutely right. And it's fun to spend time with our kids, and in my case, grandkids that are that age. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun. Dr. Angel, you and I have a show on Thursday night. Every Thursday night. What's that about?
That is called Go Yard. And it's about hitting the home runs in life. It's about a life coaching show about living life and living life well.
Yes, absolutely. And just the importance of learning those little, what's the word for it? Those little things that will help us do better in life. I don't know, those little techniques, those little...
Yeah, they're like really good tools that you
tools.
Can use.
Tools is the word I was looking for.
Because life always happens. And sometimes we don't always know, what do we do? How do we get out of this rut? Or how do we just keep moving forward?
Right. And so that's what our Thursday night show is all about. And we've been doing it. We're in our fourth year. Give our audience, if they've never tuned in, it's Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. right here on this station. Give our audience an idea of the topics that we cover on Go Yard. Just a few. There's tons.
There is tons. We've talked about parenting, relationships, fighting fair, divorce, anxiety, depression, the holiday season.
Right.
All kinds of stuff.
And you can find our shows on our website for that show, which is goyard2014.org. O-R-G. And every month or two, we catch up with the shows that we've done and put them up there on our website. But in the meantime, you can catch them on podcast right here always. TantalkNetwork.com, go to podcasts, and then go to Go Yard, and you can catch them. The last two shows we've done have been in a series we're doing on divorce. So, but there's no topic that that was too many negatives. No matter what the topic, we're not afraid to tackle it. Let's start with positives there.
Absolutely. We will tackle any topic, and we do. And then we have our question and answer shows that come on quarterly, and those are just a free-for-all, whatever our audience is going through.
Right, and we get all those. So any of you can submit a question, and Dr. Angel, the answer girl, will do her best to answer it. And those you would just send by email, goyard2014@gmail.com. with your prolonged questions. And I say prolonged because a lot of them are not just a quick little question. It's more like a paragraph, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you made it in here, even with your throat. And you're part of our radio team on Sunday, along with you and I doing the show on Thursday night. So it's a lot of fun. And then there's Nan. We just came from nursing home ministry, Nan, at Palm Garden, which we do the first Sunday of every month. And it's always amazing and always wonderful. And you spoke today, and you were great, as always. You always have these little picture lessons.
That's true.
All right. Well, I'm glad that's true.
They can relate with that. I mean, some of them, their thought processes
yes.
different.
Right.
You know, well, there's a younger level, basically, you know?
Yes.
And so the little props that I use or whatever I use, and it's to help them to remember the particular scripture that I happen to be speaking about.
Right.
So that's what it was about.
And it always works. It's always great. We appreciate what you do. And first Sunday of every month at Palm Garden at 1 o'clock, we have a service. And been doing that now. We're in our 7th year. And, you know, it's just a joy to be able to go there. I love walking in the doors. Don't you, Nan? Just and
oh, it's just.
We have
such
a team
a
with us we, from yeah. Beacon of Hope. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, today when we walked out, I told you I felt like we were the God Squad.
Yeah, you did say that,
I
the
did
God
say
Squad.
That, you know,
yeah.
It's just kind of walking
but
out
our,
together.
Our goal and our joy is to be there every month and to take a moment to just, you know, sing the songs. We sing the old Sunday school songs. It's amazing to me how many of those people know those songs and love to sing along, even if they can't talk. A lot of them will sing anyway, don't they, Nan?
Right, yes.
Which is kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. Well, you know, it's that's a church service. They're going to church when they come when we go in there, and they're like an extended part of the family of Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we look forward to seeing our regulars, and then we have visitors from time to time.
Right.
We have our regulars that are always there every faithful
yeah,
every month. That's
they're
pretty
great.
Cool.
So that's part of the ministry of Beacon of Hope. If you're new to our ministry, we've been around now. We're in our 17th year. Hard to believe. Began in my living room in September 29th of 2001. And we've gone through an awful lot as a ministry, highs and lows, as most people do. But we've been consistently there and consistently faithful to bring out the Word of God. Our slogan for Beacon of Hope is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And that's what we're all about. Is getting out the Word of God. It's a joy to be able to do that week after week after week. It's always fun. And these shows are great. We're in our 11th year here on this radio station, in this show. It never gets old, does it, Nan? I mean, you've been doing it with me now for many years.
About
you
seven.
And some of the others. Mm-hmm. And Angel, you've been on this show, what, a year at least?
At least, yeah.
Yeah, at least. And it's just, to me, I love looking. I look forward to coming in here. I just love doing this show.
It's a delight, you know. It's, you know, we enjoy doing it, and we know that lives are being changed.
Yes,
that's important
right.
part. We come here as ministry, and lives are being changed. People are being enlightened. They're learning a lot of things, you know, about the Lord, and that makes it worth it. That ministry,
oh, absolutely,
it's a ministry,
that's what it's
and that's
all
what
about.
Makes it worth it.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day. It's beautiful. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We thank you that you love us so much. That you love every single person in our audience. Lord, we ask that you just reach out to each one today to meet their particular need. We ask, Lord, that you would just minister your precious truths and promises to our audience in such a way that they will really be able to hear what you, the Spirit of the Living God, is saying to them today. We're going to listen, Lord. We want to hear you talk to us. And Lord, we just give you these next couple hours, and it's all about you, and we give you the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And here we go. Spirit Wind by Casting Crowns. Great song. Don't talk about the Holy Spirit today. Spirit Wind. This is from a Bible section in the Bible in Ezekiel.
Ezekiel stared down into the valley, filled with dried bones baking in the sun. Remains that used to be a mighty army. To him it looked like the fighting days were done. But driven by your calling on his life, you spoke God's words, the bones began to shake. You stared wide-eyed as the flesh began to form, and as it prophesied to the wind, the soldiers began to wake. And the Lord sent his wind into the valley and breathed the breath of life into their souls and raised them again a mighty army. For soon these arisen warriors will battle again, for they have been filled with the Spirit. Whoa.
once a mighty army for the Lord. But now he stares into the lifeless eyes, believers leading carnal lives, he wonders what they're fighting for. But driven by your calling on his life, he spoke God's word like he'd done 100 times before. This time he comes broken and weeping, the tears of a broken heart, and he cries out to the Lord. Oh Lord, send your wind into this valley, breathe the breath of life into their souls. Raise them again, a mighty army, soon these arisen warriors will battle again. Have been filled with the Spirit. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
Amen. Woo, Holy Spirit, yes.
Send your wind into this valley. Breathe the breath of life into
our soul. Love that song, because that's what we want.
Raise us again, a mighty army.
We want to have the life of Almighty God breathed into us. We want to be more than we are in our own natural selves. We need the supernatural power of God working in our lives. Angel, I know you grew up kind of in church, kind of not, kind of
yes.
Whatever. But did there come a time in your life where you just realized you needed more of God, that you really knew about him but maybe didn't really know him? That's what we've been talking about in this series a lot.
Absolutely. You know, I've attended church since I was a little kid, but it wasn't until my 20s that I really got to know him.
Okay. So we go through a lot of times in our lives where we kind of know about him. Do you want to address that? Do you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, I knew all the Bible stories. I could quote a lot of verses.
Right.
I always went to Sunday school. But it wasn't personal. He wasn't mine.
Aha. That's the whole thing right there. It wasn't personal. God was not yours. Right. Okay. And that's exactly the point we need to make. And of course, we don't prepare what we're going to say on these shows. But that's exactly what I wanted you to say, because in this series, Who Is He? The whole goal is to help people understand that it's one thing to know about him, but it's a whole nother ball game to know him, to know how he thinks, how he works, how he feels about you, how he feels about your life and everything. And so often we get hung up in, oh, yeah, I know. I've heard those stories about God. Yeah, I know God. Yeah, sure. You know, but not really getting it down on the inside of us till it's life changing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it doesn't change your life till it gets down and, you know, makes that little, 18-inch trip from your head to your heart.
18 inches from your trip from your head to your heart. That's exactly right. So a lot of people have it in their head, right? And Ann, talk to us about that. You grew up in church, too. So did I. We all three. This was not something new to us when we were like 35 or 40 or something. This was something that we all grew up in.
Well, what I thought of was in the denomination that I was brought up in, I used to use my bragging rights that I was third generation, this denomination on both sides of the family.
Oh.
Both my grandparents on both sides of the family was in this particular denomination. And I remember I used to wear that with great pride.
But really?
You know, yeah, I mean, I really did. I think
we can kind of refute that, can't we, Angel, here in a minute. But go ahead. Let's hear what you wore with pride.
Well, it was a pride thing it was just a pride thing.
Okay.
It was just a pride thing. And, you know, I mean, that's great and that was reality, but I shouldn't live on that.
Right.
And, you know, if I'm, I mean, that's not that big a deal. I mean, like, if you don't have him in your life, working in your life, it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter what church you grew up in or how many times you went to Sunday school and got perfect attendance.
Exactly. That's not what it's all about. Yes, you need to go to church because that's what you need to do, but that's not what it's all about.
Why do you need to go to church?
Well, you have fellowship with your brothers and sisters, and they can support you,
right?
You know, in a difficult time, in a time of trouble.
Right.
The Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit moves.
Oh, yes. That's what we're going to talk about today. Yes.
And, you know, and it is there, and you can sense him, and you can feel, and it's just, you know, I can be having a really tough day. And I can be facing some tough circumstances or situations in life.
Right.
But there's something special. There's something special about going to my church and being with my church family.
Oh, she started to cry early in the show. That usually takes a while, Angel. But no, you know what? And you feel this deeply, don't you? I'm teasing you. But you know, you feel this deeply.
Absolutely. It's just, there's nothing like that. I mean, you know, yeah, I can look at my sister Angel. I love Angel. Right. I mean, Angel's a beautiful person.
She's lovable.
She's great and lovable. You know, and she can just give me a hug and it just warms me.
Right.
It's a warming feeling. You don't feel isolated. You don't feel alone in the world. You have family there.
Well, isn't that why Paul wrote in Hebrews 13, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some do"? Because it is a common thing now in this day and age for people not to go to church. I mean, that's... it's really the norm. It's unusual to run into people who say, yeah, I want to be there whenever I can. That's my goal. Angel, talk to us about this.
Well, you're right. I think in the day and age that we have so much technology and
right.
a lot of people are like, well, I'll just stay home and watch church online. And that's fine because you're getting fed the word, but you're missing the vital part that we need
yes.
church for, to build us up and for us to help build our fellow believers up.
Well, we start every service with time of give us your prayer requests and praise reports. We do that on purpose so everybody feels drawn in, you know, and that their concern matters, you know, or their praise report, we want to hear it. You know, we only take a few minutes to do that, but it's so important that people feel that they're a part of something. And that's, you know, so because there's been such a decrease in church attendance, because there's been such a growth in mega churches where they're somewhat more impersonal. However, some of those have great, you know, individual Bible studies, cell groups and all that, and they have a lot to offer. I'm not saying they don't, because they do. A lot of them do. But the point is that our nation in particular seems to have kind of lost our appreciation for being in the house of God. You want to address that, Angel?
I think it's just a generational thing.
I think it is too, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I remember when I was a kid that, you know, stores were still closed on Sunday.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, there was just that culture of Sunday
right.
is family day and church day, and we've lost that.
Right. So, you know, the author of that and the reason behind that is that the devil really is real. Jesus talked about the devil, and we're going to talk in John 8 right now. We're going to go to John 8, 31 and start there today. And it's so often that we really forget that there is this evil force. Now, sometimes we see evil in certain people, and we can say, wow, that was evil, or that person's evil, or that was not nice what they did. But Jesus calls it like it is here. And he talks about the devil being a real entity, and the devil being... well, we'll talk about it here. Let's go. John 8, 31. Jesus turned to the Jews who claimed to believe in him. See, some people claim to have believed in him, but there's a difference of being, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and then really let your life show that. He said, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you'll experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said in John 14, 6, and we're not going to turn there right now, but he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think a lot of people have a hard time distinguishing truth from lies these days. I think that with our media and our propaganda and whatever, it's easy just to believe what is put right there in front of you on your phone. You know, it's hard to distinguish truth from lies for a lot of people. And, you know, Jesus gets up here and says, wait a minute, the truth will set you free. Not the lie, the truth, okay? So the truth is what is a lot of things, but it is, who are we in Jesus? Our series is, who is he? Okay, we're talking about who he really is. God sent his son to this earth to show us the Father. Nan, talk to us about this. What how important is truth in our lives?
I mean, it's extremely important. You know, I have a friend, and when we talk, and, you know, it's like, I believe what you're saying to me.
Right.
And this friend of mine said, I believe you're telling me the truth. I'm like, yeah, of course I'm telling you the truth.
Okay.
You know? And, I mean, that reminds me of a little story. I had a car hit my car, and I had the car in the shop. And it was in the shop a very long time. So they finally got it fixed, but then it wasn't driving right. And so then come to find out what happened, the axle was bent.
Oh, wow.
It got bent in that accident, but no one found it until I took it to my individual mechanic. So they went back to, my dad was helping me with this greatly, and he took it back into the lady and said, the axle's bent, we need to add it onto the claim, it needs to be fixed. And she said, well, how do you know that your daughter didn't run into some curb since getting it out of the shop and
hit it?
And his statement to her was, there's one thing about my daughter. She will tell you the truth. You may not like what she has to say to you, but she'll tell you the truth. And, you know, I mean, that's, I want to be known as someone who tells the truth.
Right.
You know, and if truth is freeing. Truth is freeing.
This show is all about truth today.
Yes.
Okay. The show right before us, which is excellent, we love those dear people, is entitled Truth Talk. Okay. And so often I think that we go through life not emphasizing the importance of truth. You know, we will tell people what they want to hear, don't we, doctor? You're a PhD, licensed mental health counselor. Help me here with this. Truth is not an easy thing to find in a lot of relationships.
It absolutely isn't. And it's such a vital part to building trust. You can't have trust without truth.
Interesting. Why not?
Well, because trust is built on somebody telling you the truth that, you know, that it's fact, that what they say is going to happen is going to happen, or else you can't trust what they're telling you.
Have you ever had a good friend that was a liar? Either one of you. Angel,
yes,
you go first.
Yes, Nan. I have. And it's
how does that affect you?
Well, first, it breaks the trust once
exactly.
you find out you've been lied to. And second of all, it doesn't feel good. You feel heartbroken. You feel betrayed. You feel a lot. Even if the lie wasn't about you, it was something minor, it's still, I can't trust this person anymore.
Right. Yeah, it really breaks down the trust level. And why is trust important while we got you on the hot seat, counselor?
Well, trust is a foundation for building any kind of relationship.
Right.
And when we're talking about God, that's our ultimate relationship.
Right. And especially in a marriage situation, you have to have trust. And when it's broken, it's hard to get it restored. It takes a lot of work, a lot of times to get that restored. Jesus really emphasized truth. And it says in John chapter 1 that the word, this is verse 14, one of my favorite verses, John 1:14. Pastor Jim quoted it this morning. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father. In other words, we looked at him and we realized we were seeing Father God. Okay? Full of what does it say in your translation? Full of what?
Grace and truth.
Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Okay? And grace is all that, what a lot of people call unmerited favor. When we get what we get blessed and we are just abundantly blessed by God when we may not even deserve it. That's grace. There are so many times. How many times do we sing that old song? We forgot to sing that today at nursing home, Amazing Grace. We usually sing it because grace is amazing. Talk to me about that, Angel.
Oh, grace is totally amazing. And to know that that grace is personal, that grace lives for me, that
yeah.
he extends that grace for me in an individual way all the time.
So Jesus, it says right here in John 1:14, the word Jesus became flesh, which we know the Son did. Sorry, got the hiccups going here. I'm going to try to avoid them. The Son became flesh. The word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Talk to us, Nan. I got to take a drink of water and get these hiccups to stop or hold my breath or something.
Well, you know, Angel was talking about the truth is a foundational thing to build upon. You know, and if I've had people, if friends in my life who have lied, I just cut them out. I just cut them out.
Okay.
And I have an innate ability to be able to do that. But
do they ever ask you, hey, how come you don't call me anymore?
Well, they usually know.
They usually know.
Because
you caught them in a lie.
Yes.
How do you handle it, Doctor?
Oh, that's a tricky one because it's something I'm kind of dealing with right now personally. And I did not confront the lie. I just put it in the back of my head that I know it's been a lie. And I've distanced myself from the relationship.
Because you know that the lies happen and you don't want to. See, lies, a relationship built on lies is no relationship at all.
No,
okay?
It's not.
Now, Jesus points this out, and let's go on here. He says the truth will set you free. Okay, the truth will set you free. Sometimes the truth isn't pretty. Sometimes we hear things like if you're trying to have marriage counseling or work on your relationship or something, sometimes things need to be said that maybe are hard to hear.
Absolutely.
I'm going back to you on this, Doctor, because sometimes you need to say those things.
Absolutely. Doesn't mean the truth is pretty, but the truth is still the truth. We can trust it that person is being honest and we have something to move forward from. But when we're given a lie, we have nothing. It's crumbling blocks.
Right.
You know, when I'm raising my kids, one of the first things I taught them is I can handle anything in truth. You lie to me, you're going to get the punishment times 7.
Wow.
So I didn't play games.
What a parent you are.
And so everyone has had that experience once, and now they know they need to tell me the truth, and they do. And I can handle anything in truth, but I can't take a lie.
And you know, truth is the foundation of a relationship, okay? How many times have we seen corporate people or political people stand up and lie, 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 and then say, no, I didn't lie. No, no. You know, and twist things around. I don't know about y'all, but I believe that we need a renaissance, a renewal of truth in this nation, okay? That it's so important that we speak truth to each other. Talk to us, Nan.
Well, many people, they sometimes don't know the truth from the falsehood. They get
right.
So caught up in lying all the time, you know. They just get caught up in it. A lot of people do that. They would almost rather speak a lie than the truth.
Exactly. I know. Let's look at verse 30. Let's see where. It's hard to read in this Message Bible. 34. Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. We can be a slave to lying, don't you think? I think there's a lot of people who are. I think there's a lot of people who grow up in a household of lies, and that's all they know, and it's acceptable behavior. Angel?
It becomes their normal.
It becomes their normal. And so as a result of that, then they eventually sometimes are confronted by people who want the truth, and it's hard. And then in that verse right there, it says, if the Son sets you free, you're free through and through. And he's talking to these religious leaders, Jesus is, and he says, I know you are Abraham's descendants, but I also know you are trying to kill me because my message hasn't yet penetrated your thick skulls. I love this in the Message Bible. I'm talking about things I've seen while keeping company with the Father. You just go on doing what you've heard from your Father. And they said, our father's Abraham. Now, Jesus is going to confront this and say that their father is not Abraham. These are religious leaders who should have known better, but they were liars. And Jesus confronts that. We're going to do a song right here, and then we're going to come back on our discussion of truth here. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, maybe you hadn't figured that out yet. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is the Spirit of truth. Okay, that's who he is. That's God's Spirit in us. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. I want you to hear this song. It's an old one. It's been around a long time. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Rodney Howard Brown. I love this old song. It's just really good.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome.
And yes, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this show.
In this place.
Amen.
Oh,
Praise God. He's welcome right here. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, you are welcome in this place. Praise God. Love that. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Let's go on talking about the Spirit of Truth. If you're just joining us on Living the Good Life today, we're in John chapter 8, and we're going to go down to verse 42. Because Jesus is having a discussion with the religious leaders, and the religious leaders are just not getting it because they feel very self-righteous, very justified in their attitudes. They are very condemning of Jesus. They don't understand why he is rocking the boat, so to speak. Nan, talk to me about this. Jesus came in and started changing everything by just the things he started teaching. And they got very, very upset, don't you think?
Oh, do they ever?
Yeah.
I mean, they took what he took what they knew and he took their traditions and,
right.
and all the things that they did and just kind of did an uproar in the whole situation.
Yeah.
He got it really going, you know.
I mean, for him to say the truth will set you free, they didn't think they needed to be set free of anything.
Right.
Talk to me about that, Angel, because so often people are so self-righteous, don't you think, especially Christians?
I think that happens quite often, and you're right. It's like they can see fault with everyone else but themselves.
Right.
And then they have this false illusion that if I just go to church every week and, you know,
yeah.
do the right thing, which I get to decide what the right thing is for everybody, then I'm okay, I'm in good standing, and that doesn't necessarily mean that.
Okay, doesn't God look at our heart?
Absolutely.
Okay, not what comes out of our mouth. I mean, so often people can talk the talk. All of us growing up in church, I have heard people that talk the talk, and later you find out they're doing this, they're doing that, whatever, or they just don't have a heart after God. Not necessarily that they're sinning, but they just don't have a heart after God. Talk to me about that, Ann. There is a difference in people's lives that just can go and pretend or whatever.
I really don't like people like that. I know none of us do.
Why not?
It's just not right.
Why not?
I mean,
forgive my coughing, audience.
They give Christianity a bad name.
How many times have we heard people say, if Christianity means that people act like that, forget it.
I don't want any. Exactly. I don't want anything to do with that. And, you know, you could have 10 Christians, true Christians out there really serving God and doing, and you have one person, you know, that the people see that one person overshadowing the 10 that were doing good.
Well, what happens in a bushel basket of apples, and if you put one rotten apple in it, what happens?
It starts making
the worms crawl out of that apple and get into all the others, right? Haven't we seen this in church forever, that you get one little gossip or one person starting something about somebody or saying, I don't like the way the pastor did this, or rah, 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 and pretty soon it's spreading like cancer?
Absolutely.
We had a situation one time in church that my husband and I attended, and someone came to us because we were leaders in the church, and someone came to us and they said, oh, guess what? You know, so-and-so's doing such and such, and I, you know, and we're like, really? Let's go talk to him. They didn't want to go talk to him. The person, we knew the person. We knew the person's life. We knew they were not doing what they were accusing us that they were doing.
Oh,
but
they were just stirring up
trouble.
They were
trying to stir up trouble.
And we people them. Love to do that.
They love to do that, but we stopped it with us anyway because we said, really, let's go talk it out.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to go talk it out because they knew they were lying.
Well, what does the scripture say in Matthew? When you have a fence, you have a problem with, not a fence around your yard, but you have offense going on in some area of your life with someone in your church or in your, you know this person to be a believer. What do? Angel, you know what scripture's talking about.
You go to them.
You go to them. And you're exactly right, Nan. You go to them because that's the quickest way to stop a lie. The quickest way to stop what the devil tries to do, in Revelation through John, in Revelation 12, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, okay? What you're discussing right there is a situation where somebody, you know, gets all upset about something and then starts saying something that isn't even true or taking a little bit out of context, mm-hmm. or I heard Sister So-and-so say, you know what I mean? Talk to me about that angel. It spreads like wildfire.
Well, it makes the whole place not safe.
Very good. I like that safe word. We've been using it on Go Yard lately, haven't we?
We do, and it's true. And, you know, if church is to be that body of believers that I can trust and that I feel built up with and that I can share what's really going on and that I need help and support, I wouldn't feel like I could trust that church where something little gets twisted and turned into a lot of big stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. And you see, Jesus calls this, the root of this, for what it really is. And so often we don't want to hear it, especially Christians, don't want to hear that maybe the devil has influenced us to start some gossip or to push the gossip further, expand it, or to, you know, cause dissent or disruption or whatever. But Jesus calls it straight to these religious leaders, to their faces. And he's saying, you know what? If God were your father, I'm in verse 42 of John 8. He's saying to religious leaders, rabbis, leaders, you would love me. Now, wait a minute. They don't love him. They're trying to get rid of him. They're coming against him. They are accusing him. For I came from God and arrived here. We talked today in our service about God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and then God the Holy Spirit. They're all God, the Trinity. And I gave this example. It's the best one I know of, really. That all parts of water, every molecule of water is two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, H2O. Whether you have water in liquid form, steam, or ice, it's still, every molecule is H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are still all God. And when we talk here, when Jesus is saying, you know, I came down from God. And if you don't understand, that's who I'm from. That's, you know, he was declaring who he was, but they did not want to accept it. Talk to us, Nan.
There are sometimes in my life, I know that I didn't want to necessarily accept what Jesus had to say.
Oh, woo. Okay. Oh, it's true confession time,
during,
Angel.
During my Jonah days.
Oh, yes, you did have some Jonah days. I don't know if Angel knows about your Jonah days.
You know about my Jonah days?
I don't think so.
Oh, I was running from God.
Yeah, she was.
Everywhere I ran, he was.
Yeah, well, that's hard.
I mean, that's tough. Everywhere I ran, he was. Uh-huh. And you know,
he
and
was there before you were, you mean?
Yeah, he was there before I was. And this was during the beginning part of when I started at Beacon. I was a mess when I started at Beacon.
Amen.
But, I mean, that I didn't like some of the things that he said, but but what he was speaking was truth. And I had to accept that, you know, and I...
What God was saying to you, right?
Right, yeah, what God was saying to me.
Right.
Was truth, you know.
And you wanted to run from it because you didn't want to make some corrections in your life.
Correct.
Not that we ever called you in and said, Nan, you got to do this, 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 and
oh,
this.
Oh, no, not at all.
You're saying the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart in services. And,
yes.
And, right?
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you for clarifying.
Why didn't you want to do it?
I was just being rebellious.
Well, I didn't know anybody was ever rebellious. Angel, let's talk about rebellion. Because isn't that what was going on here with the religious leaders? They were like... No, who are you? And he says, you know, if you really love God, you love me. Because basically he was saying, I am God, okay? You just don't get it. Talk to us.
You know, they didn't get it then, and I think they don't get it now.
They don't get it now.
You know, and that's the hard part. That's the sad part, because you're right. Being, you know, calling yourself a Christian in today's culture can mean hate and a lot of really bad things, but that's not... who real Christians are. Mm-hmm. Real Christians are loving. Real Christians aren't judgmental because we have grace, because we've been given grace. And we have mercy because we've experienced mercy.
Whoa, amen. Preach it.
And so that's what a real Christian is. And if you see anything less of, you know, reaching out to help people that need help, giving to the less fortunate out of the abundance of our heart, not to say, look at me, look what I'm doing, look where I'm putting my money, but because I love you enough and you are just as valuable as I am going to help you.
That's exactly right. And so many people don't even realize the importance of living a different way. And we talk about it a lot here on Living the Good Life. They get fire insurance. They say, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to go to heaven. Is that the right motive?
Not at all. To be a real Christian, our hearts are filled with the love of Christ. We're full with Christ. And Christ was about loving. He didn't walk around and judge others, and he surely could have. He was not perfect. He was the only one who could have walked around judging others, and he didn't. No, he went to the social outcasts, and he called them to be his own.
He sure did. I mean, it was so cool how the woman at the well had already had how many husbands? Five or something. And he goes,
not here to judge you.
Not here to judge you, you know. The lady caught in adultery in John chapter 8, and Jesus stoops down and starts writing with his finger in the sand. A lot of people believe he was writing the names of sins. And it said, very interestingly, that all this religious leaders that were gathered around, from the oldest to the youngest, started walking away because probably one of their sins was right there on the ground in sand. And so, you know, but Jesus was not that. He called it the way it is. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is a liar, and he is the thief that's talked about, that Jesus talked about in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. How many times does the thief try to take our joy? He tries to take our purpose in life. He brings depression. He brings all kinds of issues. Talk to us, Nan, about that, and then we'll go to Angel on that. So the thief is busy working. The thief is Satan, the devil. He's real.
That's where it's really important that we maintain our relationship with God in reading the Word and praying and spending time in prayer, so that those things, when those attempts of attacks don't come against us, they don't overwhelm us.
Right.
That they don't take over, that we don't give in to them, you know.
We're strong when we're in the Word.
Yeah, and I'd like to piggyback it back to you need to be in a church.
Right.
Because you can receive a lot from your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You receive a lot from the sermons, from the praise and worship, from the testimony time, whatever is going on. You can receive strength from those things, so that when these other types of things try to come upon you, you can resist them in the name of Jesus.
Right.
You know, the depression would try to come on you. The downheartedness would come on you. You could have joy. You can have joy. Joy is here.
Amen.
And joy, I mean, we can have joy in our situation. It doesn't necessarily change the situation, but it changes how we are in dealing with that situation.
Exactly. You know, it's so important that we take our Christian life seriously, our Christian walk. And I really think a lot of people actually are just thinking, okay, I want to go to heaven when I die. I think some people even go, if there is a heaven. And so they'll say, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but it doesn't change their life. And these religious leaders right here, Angel, Jesus is saying, wait a minute, if you really knew the Father, you would understand I and the Father are one. You would get it, that I am different than the average guy walking down the street, you know?
And it just goes to show how much they thought they were on the right path,
yes,
but how lost they really were. You know, and I feel like we see that so much just today in our churches today. I mean, I think if Jesus walked into a lot of churches, he wouldn't be recognized or accepted.
Right.
In his own churches. And
right.
So, because I think we have this human need for control. We have this human need to take, you know, the words of God and then kind of make rules by them. And this is it. And it can't be anything different. And God doesn't work that way. He's not in a box.
You're exactly right. And so many people thrive on rules and traditions and it black and white. Things are not as black and white as we think they are.
Absolutely. That's
you know?
Right.
And so often that's where church issues get in trouble. And some of you out there may be saying, aren't you a pastor? Yeah. And I've been doing it since I was 30. No, my first was associate pastor and a youth pastor when I was 22. So I've been doing it most of my life. And I can tell you some of the worst, most painful times of my life have come at the hands of Christians, where they weren't walking the walk and talking the talk. They were talking it, you know, but it wasn't reality and all the trouble that was stirred. Talk to me, Nan. I don't know how we got on this tangent, but, well, we're talking about truth and lies, so it's
right.
it's a good tangent to be on.
Well, I know the most hurt or pain that I have felt, like you said, is not from the unchurched people.
Right.
It's from within,
right,
within the walls of people who are supposed to be my brothers and sisters, you know?
Right.
And how many times have we heard about people who don't even believe in a God, don't know that there is no God, they're many times out front line helping people who need help.
Right.
When Christians might look the other way and say, well, I'm not going to help right. that person. Look at how what they have done. And then they set themselves in a pious situation
right.
of look at who I am.
Right.
Well, we're just nothing but a sinner saved by grace is what
that's
we
all
are.
We are.
You know, so that's all we are. And many times, you know, I've heard of people who are not church help people much greater than people who are churched.
So what we need is for the Holy Spirit to come and fill the space in our heart. C.C. Winans, Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Love this song. Let's apply it to each of our lives.
Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Bring us healing with your warm embrace. Show your power, make your presence known. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Longing just to hear from you. My soul is waiting to know someone who can take us higher, help us make it through. So will you please come and set us free?
Make that your prayer today. Stir our hearts. Set our spirits free. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. That's our prayer today. Praise God. Nan, you got a poem that God gave you during that song?
I do. The space that needs to be filled is in your heart, little one. I will keep you in all things. It will be better. And done. You will feel my presence in all things that you face. You will make it through your troubles. You will certainly make it with grace. I will fill you up to the brim. What will your answer be? Do you want my comfort and strength? Do you greatly fill me?
Oh, praise God. That's a good question from God to our audience and to each of us, right? We're in John 8, and let's go on and see what Jesus said here in about verse 42. He said, if God were your father, he said this to the religious leaders, you would love me, for I came from God and arrived here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand one word I say? Here's why. You can't handle it. Boy, you talk about being pretty blunt here, Jesus. You're from your father, the devil. We're talking about religious leaders. And I'll tell you the word he used there for devil in just a moment. And all you want to do is please him. He was a killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, he makes it up out of his lying nature and fills the world with lies. I arrive on the scene, tell you the plain truth, and you refuse to have a thing to do with me. Can any one of you convict me of a single misleading word or a single sinful act? But I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you believe me? Anyone on God's side listens to God's words right there. Anyone on God's side listens to God's words. This is why you're not listening, because you're not on God's side. Oh my gosh, this is calling it so clear. The word he used for devil there in the Greek is diabolos, and it means adversary, slanderer, and accuser. He is declaring right here the devil is real, good and evil is real. People, we have movie after movie constantly portray good and evil. Good, the cowboys with the white hats and the bad guys with the black hats, right? We see it all the time. That's what a lot of our pop culture is about, good and evil, good and evil. Because good and evil is the bottom line of everything. And the devil is evil, and the devil is a liar. He's a slanderer. He's an adversary. He's your accuser. Talk to us, Angel. Jesus was being extremely blunt here, Angel.
He was, but I think we need bluntness sometimes.
I think we do, too.
And that's part of his truth. And right, the devil is very deceiving. And I think it's easy for us to get deceived because he uses people we love. He uses things that maybe are important to us or that we think are important to us. And that's where the lies get implanted.
Right.
And that's where the truth gets twisted. You know, and he's really good at, he just twists it enough.
Yes.
So that if you really don't know the truth wholeheartedly.
Right, exactly.
You won't recognize it as a lie.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's funny. Spencer and I were driving to church this morning, and we have a game where we get to take turns listening to our music. And he likes rap now, and I'm not a big fan of it, but he was listening to this rap song, and it was talking about, you know, you have to know things for yourself. You have to get in and find what real truth is. You can't let your mom tell you, your dad tell you, your school teachers tell you, the government tell you. You've got to know it.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, Spencer, that's an awesome message in that crazy rap song, but it's so true.
Yes.
For us as Christians, we got to know it, not the way our preacher tells it to us.
That's right.
Not the way our mom and dad taught us. We got to know God because he's teaching us.
That's exactly right. We're going to talk more about this in our second hour. I can't believe the first hour is almost up. But you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marsha. We got Nan and Angel here, part of our radio team in the studio with us today. We talked a little bit about Go Yard earlier, but do you want to say one more word for people who maybe not familiar with our counseling life coaching show, Dr. Angel?
Well, you know, Go Yard is just an amazing life coaching show of great tools to help you get through in life. It's free counseling. It's archived. It's there. It's tagged. It's titled for when you're going through that difficult time. You have something right at your hands.
And you can listen live every Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. Dr. Angel and me, my other name, Mama Mac. And we are the ones who do that show and have now for 3+ years. Exciting. Love it. Love it. Love it. We talked about the nursing home ministry earlier. Nan, would you mention our prayer line? Because prayers at BOHMglobal.com. We want people to use it from all over the world. You don't have to be a partner with us in ministry to use prayers at BOHMglobal.com.
It's a really powerful tool as a ministry of Beacon of Hope. A very important tool. And we've seen many, 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 many prayer requests. Things moved and situations moved, people healed as a result of that prayer line. So if people, you know, need prayer, they don't have to be part of Beacon to get prayer. Just send in the prayer request. And you don't have to put your name if you don't want to. God knows who you are.
Betty up in Indiana, one of our radio team partners, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, Shell, one of them will pick up the request and get it out there to our radio team or our prayer team. You can be a part of the prayer team if you want. Just go to prayers at BOHM, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So prayers at BOHMglobal.com and send in your requests, and we'll write a prayer and you'll see it go up there for you, your need, whatever. Angel, why is it so important that people know that there is somebody there that can pray for them? It's just
that's hugely
vitally important.
You know, because sometimes we don't have good support system around us, or maybe we're feeling really lonely, or maybe we just don't have people who believe around us that can agree with us in prayer. And so you always have people here.
And that really goes back to the point that Nan was making earlier about the importance of going to church and having a people that you can agree with in prayer. Do you have you ever had people in your life that you can agree with in prayer?
Absolutely.
Right.
And it's life-changing.
It's life-changing. It's wonderful. It's vital. It's very important. What about you, Nan? We want people to use this prayer line, prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Well, I know I can remember one very specific time when I... I sent a request in there. I felt like I was really just going to have a nervous breakdown in my office. You remember that.
I do remember that day.
And God really moved. He really moved. I mean, I can remember right where I was when I did the prayer request. And way at the backside of my business and my school, way on the backside of the area I didn't even know existed. But I was so just crying and desperate. I was in desperate need.
Right. And God met you right
God
there.
God met me right
went
there.
Went back and finished the day.
Exactly. Thank God.
So, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're facing a physical problem, an emotional problem, whatever it is. We want to be there for you. prayers@bohmglobal.com. And as always, we encourage you to use that and to tell other people about it. And we're going to talk about our Facebook post in just a minute. But we have to do this station ID thing that we do at the top of every hour. So... hang on, and let me do that, and we'll be right back. All right, thank you. Love the station and been a part of the station for